This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
I said, oh Lord Jesus, it's a fire.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley. It's the 5 o'clock fire.
It is 5 o'clock. Congratulations. Hopefully you're off work. Luckily for you, old Dirty Show and T-Mill have the latest, a.k.a. Psycho T. Here in just a bit, you will hear directly from the head coach, D'Amico Ryans, on his biggest takeaways. But we've got the latest here. Best bets are back. Tyler gets to continue to pick. Because
multiple days in the green.
Because Clint... Tyler was lucky. In the green.
You got lucky, Bob.
He was in the green. Just barely. He was in the green. And even though the damn Phillies screwed him, and you should have had a really big day with the Phillies.
That was a bad beat.
If the catcher could catch a pop fly or even locate where it was.
Little league, son of a bitch.
Glenn, it was 5-0. Phillies are just dominating. Good. 5-0. And they hit a pop-up. And the catcher, he runs over. Like JT thinks this thing's out of play. He's looking. He's to the fence in the netting. Staring at it. That thing landed 10 feet behind him.
He's lost it, huh?
He's lost it. He's staring out. Look at it. And everybody's looking at him. Next two, bases loaded at the time. Two outs. Next two batters walk, and then a grand slam is given.
Oh
up.
My!
They even came back and tied it, and
it
lost
felt like
it. And
ripped my nuts off.
Hey, you just had the money line, didn't you?
Yep.
That was looking good. That would have been
sons
poor. But
bitches.
Boy, that'll make you sick.
But
golly,
I mean, it just turned, man. It just turned. But no, you don't get to pick tonight because he is in the green. So stay tuned for best bets as.
3 for 5, baby.
Tyler lives to fight another day in this piece. But the big thing here, let's go with day two of training camp. And before we give an assessment of what our takeaways were from today, here is D'Amico Ryans, the head coach, what his takeaways were from today.
My biggest takeaway from today was very competitive on both sides of the ball. You saw, you know, see offense making some plays there in the passing game and, you know, bust a run open there. And defense, right, really competing, making plays as well. I think the highlight of the day for me was Petrie, all right, being in a really good spot to intercept the football. He's been a guy who's been very consistent for us. No matter where we put him, what we've asked him to do, he's just, you know, my type of player. He's all over the field, always up for the challenge. Whatever the down is, like, he's going to be around the football making plays, and it was evident today.
All right, he singled out Jalen Petrie. The defense had a good day, said some things with the offense. As you were out there, Clint, what was your takeaways today?
Well, I disagree with DeMeco from the offensive standpoint. I thought it was a sloppy day offensively at best. There's two balls on the ground in the backfield. One of them was a fumbled exchange by one of the backup quarterbacks. And then one of them was a fumbled snap that was then picked up by C.J. Stroud that he overthrew an in-cut to his right to Higgins. And I believe that's the ball that Petrie picked, I believe.
It was a drop snap, and then he threw it high across the middle,
It was so I think it was a sloppy day on the for the offense. I think the pass protection was not good. Juice Scruggs got beat like a drum on one time at left guard, one play at left guard. There was a couple of times where the overall protection, the whole pocket just collapsed around the quarterback. And so I don't know, you know, I don't think it was a good day offensively. I think it was sloppy. Now, in the same breath, I have to admit, like, it's when you're installing a new offense. I mean, I would say in the first 2 to 3 weeks of installing this thing, you're gonna have days where you just can't get right.
Yeah, that's what I was gonna say. It is surprising to you that the offense, especially going against this defense, had some struggles,
It's not going to surprise me when they struggle at all, regardless who's on the other side of them. But you do make a good point of you've got a championship caliber defense on the other side of them, so it's definitely going to make it even worse at times. And so I think today was probably a little bit of both. I think that team, that defense, that's aggressive, physical, and just doesn't believe in taking a breath at all. I think that took a toll today, and I think the team's trying to install some stuff, and you saw some typical young installation type mistakes. And but yeah, I can't get with DeMeco on good things on both sides. I thought it was sloppy offensively.
Yeah, as you said, man, they've got a lot of, especially up front and in the receiving core, and really, I guess, hell, everywhere. They got a lot of in and out, a lot of new pieces and parts. Your quarterback is learning a new system, and Nick Chubb is new here, and not just in a new system, but him and CJ haven't played together. A lot of moving parts on the offensive line. They are really – they continue that today, mixing and matching and shifting and changing things there. So there's another piece of it. Receivers, young receivers coming in. So there's going to be some things. Hopefully, Clint, the deal is we're not seeing this next week. Like, at least some of the ball on the ground stuff, like that kind of stuff, the real unforced stuff.
Yeah. Well, you hope to never see that. There's really no excuse for the ball to be on the ground. But the I think there is some good teaching tape there. I think C.J. Stroud picking the ball up and making a bad play worse. I think that's. You know, that's some good teaching material there, but overall, I think you're just going to have those days. You have to accept it. Now you learn from it and you move on. It's just going to happen when you're installing an offense. That's to me, today was one of those days where, boy, it really sunk in what's going on in Houston with the offenses. You know, you hope to have very few days like today, but the reality is, there's going to be a lot of days, especially early on. There's going to be a lot of days like that where you just can't get everybody on the same page. But the hopes are that you get there sooner rather than later so it doesn't show up on a Sunday.
Now, the other side of it is, you know, you got to see that defense that looks like they're going to be a unit that has the ability to carry the Texans in some games if need be. And we know of the Danielle Hunters, the Will Andersons, and the Derek Stingleys. There's pretty good feel of what those guys are going to give you. Those are the top elite-type players that you have here. But then it's the next level that's going to really determine how good it is, the next level of guys. And Jalen Petrie, as he talked about, that is a player that has the ability to play at a Pro Bowl level. And that's the kind of thing that makes, as you said, a team go from top 10-ish to top 5-ish to even more, is when you have not just your top guys, but you got then the middle group of playmakers and guys like him. And if Christian Harris gets back, some of the guys on the linebacker core, the other safeties, that's the part that really takes the defense up to the next level.
Yeah, look, I think you look at this defense, and I think the not, well, how do you put it? Because I think the defense as a unit is going to be absolutely tremendous. The interior defensive line obviously is not as star-studded, if you will, as the edge group. The depth is going to be could be a little bit secondary depth in the safety with the Jimmy Ward situation and with the Ronald Darby situation at corner. The depth could be a little bit of an issue in the secondary. I think today the linebacker level on the defense got a little bit of a, at least from us watching in terms of knowing what's going on. Henry Toa Toa and Aziz Al-Shaair were out there with the first unit defensively as the interior linebackers. No surprise, but Henry Toa Toa had been out a little bit, had been missed. He'd missed a little bit, and you would wonder, like, what's he going to come back looking like? He covered Brevin Jordan on a ball in the flats and got a PBU. Appears lean, appears to be playing fast, and appears to be healthy. So that's a plus for the defense as well there at that linebacker level.
Yeah. So, they looked defense looked like we would think they would. And I think also they continued the same kind of style of offense as yesterday. The run, not throwing the ball down the field. They've continued to do that.
A huge chunk of practice, you know, dedicated to, I'd say, the run game. I would say at the pace is a slower one, which is communicate it, you know, process what's going on, communicate it, get a good mental rep while you're getting that physical rep. You know, let's really focus on doing these simple things in our plan savagely well. And I think, again, tip the cap to Nick Cayley and D'Amico Rines for making that. You know, it's real easy to go, oh, we're ready to move on and jump to the next thing or pick the pace up. And in reality, man, this time right now, you got to get the base offense right. You just flat out got to get it right. Whatever the base run game is going to be, whatever the base pass game, pass protections are going to be, man, you got to know those things like the back of your hand, and you got to know how to execute them. And they are teaching the hell out of those for a good chunk of practice early on. And I say a good chunk of practice, I'm talking, I mean, it's 30-plus minutes of real solid teaching, it looks like. That's not even counting the individual walk-through conversation stuff that they're having as position groups.
All right, as we continue here, day two, they'll get back at it tomorrow. And then Saturday, you'll be able to go out and take a look at the Houston Texans as it'll be opened up to the fans.
5 o'clock fire.
All right, the Astros, they are back here in Houston, and they are taking on the last place A's. There's a chance for them to continue to add to where they are as they have the best record in the American League, as they have a 6-game lead in the American League West, and they can continue to do that. Jason Alexander, he gets the ball in his second start. The lineup today: Trammell, Altuve, Caratini, Walker, Smith, John Singleton back in the lineup as the DH tonight. Dubon's playing third, Matthews at second, and then Zach Short is at shortstop. Someone earlier said, what are you talking about, Ron? You said that 5 out of 10 are Sugar Land. Well, in counting the pitcher thank you. And counting the pitcher, Jason Alexander, excuse me, of the starting nine and the starting pitcher, 5 of them are guys who started the year in Sugar Land or in some sort of Sugar Land corpus situation. When you look at Trammell, you look at Singleton, you look at Matthews, Short, and Alexander. So, but they're used to playing this way, Clint. They're used to playing teams like this, and they have done a pretty good job this year, Clint. There was a frustration in the past. They've done a pretty good job, Clint, in terms of beating the teams they're supposed to be beating.
Yeah, I mean, they've
handled that.
Look, and if we're being honest, I mean, some of these teams that we look at as the teams that the Astros should be beating, the current Astros have no business beating and damn sure sweeping when you got so many space cowboys in the damn lineup. So, they played a tougher schedule in the first half and we're 5 up in the division at the break, and you come out and you somehow built on that division lead as you've gone through two series. And so, yeah, I don't know what the hell's going on with them, but I don't know why it would slow down anytime soon.
Oh, yeah, man. Shout out to Taylor Trammell getting in that leadoff spot 2 days in a row. Why change it? He got on base 3 times yesterday and did a pretty good job setting the table for this offense. So
that was a no-brainer for me.
It should have been for you, Joe. Why not? So the Astros, they will take on the A's at home at the Daikin tonight. Stay tuned to see if they can get off to a good start on this weekend series.
5 o'clock fire.
All right, this looked like Clint was going to be potentially the story of the day in the NFL, but since it happened, we've gotten information that it is not as severe as maybe it sounded at first. Earlier in the day, as I said, I thought Mike Greenberg, who is a huge, huge Jets fan, was going to have an absolute heart attack in the middle of ESPN today when it came across. It came across that Justin Fields, the starting quarterback, the new starting quarterback for Aaron Glenn's New York Jets, was carted off the practice field with a lower leg injury. That was all that was said. He was seen limping really bad, and then he got on a cart and was taken to the locker room. Well, later on, Aaron Glenn spoke to the media, and it was a dislocated toe, and he avoided serious injury at this point of things. So it is not any kind of a knee or anything, nothing broken or anything like that, that is going to keep him out for the year or anything, which would have really sucked because this is a guy who was, this may be his last shot to really try to become a starter. He's trying to do the Baker Mayfield thing. He's trying to do the Geno Smith thing where he gets another opportunity on another team. But, Clint, they avoid serious injury. But this, from a quarterback's perspective, doesn't sound like it's just a walk in the park. This feels like this may be something that bothers him a while and could still really give him problems leading up into the start of the season.
Definitely, given the athletic quarterback that he is. I mean, but then let's be honest. I mean, Justin Fields is not the guy, nor are the Jets the organization that can just insert a quarterback in the week of, you know, they said he'd be ready for week one. I mean, that it's not like you're plugging in a veteran that's been in a game for 20 years or 10 years or whatever it may be, and you know what you're getting. I mean, I would think Justin Fields needs the reps to get ready. And so being ready, being healthy for week one is one thing, but being the best version of yourself is another. And I don't know if Justin Fields is at a point in his career where he just jumps on the field and he's the best guy. Now, if they're using him and his athletic abilities more so than the next guy, then I could see where he would be ready. But now you're talking about a toe that could slow that down. So, yeah, this is – I hate this, obviously, for him, but I also hate it for Aaron Glenn. I mean, being a Texas kid, being a local guy, I'd like to see him go up there and get that thing turned around as quickly as he possibly can. And you know, losing your quarterback the first damn rattle out of the box can't help that case.
Yeah, they say this is an injury that typically takes 3 to 6 weeks to heal if it's just a simple dislocation. Three to six weeks to heal. So hopefully he gets back and is able to do so. All right, coming up, offensive line. That's a big point of conversation. First, we'll let you hear what Titus Howard had to say about the mindset changing and why there are two people who are most important when it comes to determining what this offensive line will look like. We'll talk about that coming up next.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today. And live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
Baseball's number one digital destination is the MLB app. And this app's got game, like game highlights, live games, fantasy games, and more.
The gem of a game!
This is baseball your way, with stats, scores, breaking news, and daily custom content that hits every time.
A monster shot!
Because here, you choose the teams and pick the players you want to follow.
All year long.
So when they catch it on the field,
what a catch!
You catch it on the MLB app. Download today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation while they collect dust? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With a Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy. Issued by WebBank, in order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must be approved by June 30th, 2025 and spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards and which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other Gemini credit card terms, see rates and fees.
The wait is finally over. Ready or Not is available now on consoles. Become an elite SWAT commander and feel the weight of the badge. The immersive cult classic is now on its way to more players than ever before. Coming this summer for PlayStation 5 and Xbox Series XS. Get ready for 18 high-stakes missions, solo or with up to 5 players in co-op. Clear rooms, protect civilians, make split-second calls, and join the tactical shooter community. With countless ways to set up your loadouts and gear, no mission is the same. And with full crossplay, your team can suit up no matter what system they're on. So, if you're into tactical gameplay and intense high-stakes action, Ready or Not is the must-play tax shooter this summer. Available now on PlayStation, Xbox, and PC.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. On the new Campus Files podcast, we uncover the scandals you won't hear on the campus tours. Find Campus Files on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's Texans Training Camp, live from the Twin Peaks Studios. Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
All right, I want you to hear... Actually, first let me get your thoughts, and then we'll hear from Titus Howard about the mindset for this group coming up this year. The offensive line, is going to be a big question. Hill, as D'Amico said yesterday, there's not much he can say to convince you. It's something that we've got to see, but we know that was the biggest thing that prevented them to go further last year in the playoffs. But Clint, I know for you, you believe when we look at this offensive line, they're doing all kinds of shifts. There's Ariante Ursary, who is starting at right tackle on one team and then starting at left tackle on another team, period. There's Lakin Tomlinson, who's new, that's been in a lot at left guard. There's Andrews, there's Patterson, there's Juice Scruggs. They've done a lot. But I know for you, you're thinking all the stuff they're doing, this thing really depends on a couple of guys.
Yeah, I think it really depends on a couple of guys from a player perspective. And I think as we watch practice, as we hear from players and coaches, and as we watch this thing unfold in this O-line rebuild in Houston, I think there's somebody has to take the bull by the horns and be the guys that set the standard. Maybe not the guys that hold people accountable. Maybe that's Cole Popovich. But somebody's got to step up from a player perspective and be leaders. And I think as we watch how this thing kind of unfolds, I think there's two guys that we've got to watch, and they're both guards. I think Lakin Tomlinson, number one. This is a guy that D'Amico Ryans has experience with, and if D'Amico Ryans wants to remake his offensive line and he wants to have a different standard in that room and he wants to have a different personality in that room and the physicality to go to a whole nother level, he brings in a guy that he knows that he spent time with in the locker room in San Francisco. I'll be damned if that guy's not going to be one of the guys that's at least cut from the cloth that D'Amico Ryans wants his O-line to look like. And every single time they break the huddle, the ones break the huddle, the left guard is Lakin Tomlinson. I got to believe that means something. I got to believe that you put all that together, and he is one guy that is being tasked with kind of being the tip of the spear, if you will, to rebuild this offensive line, remake the O-line room. The other one, I think, is Titus Howard. I don't think I gave Titus the credit that I think is deserved. I don't believe, and I'm not changing my tune, I don't believe that Titus Howard is a guy that's going to walk in and be the alpha in the room and hold everybody accountable and all that jive. I do believe that if that coach, Cole Popovich, who appears to be a guy that is a set the standard, hold people accountable kind of guy, I believe if he goes in there and he asks the offensive line to do things a certain way, focus and show up every day, focus, execute, communicate in a certain way, I do believe that Titus Howard is a guy that, one, is going to be in the group with the first string every time. I don't care what the pieces around him or how they're being rotated. Titus Howard is going to be at right guard. And I do believe that he has the ability to show up and be a guy that goes balls to the wall, guys that focuses on being more physical, a guy that holds people account. I do think he is a guy that can execute the role that the head coach is, I mean, the O-line coach is looking for. So I just think as we watch this O-line rebuild, to me right now, there's two guys that really stick out. And they're being made a priority because they're with the ones. And number two, I think they've got the pelts on the wall, the veteran, the paycheck, the experience. I think it's Lakin Tomlinson and Titus Howard are two guys that they're leaning into to really turn the corner with this offensive line.
Those were two problem areas. The interior offensive line were two problem areas, and that's who they chose to be the ones to fill them in. As you're right, there's not a ton of movement with them. Maybe Juice Scruggs is getting in a little bit at left guard some, but those guys have been mostly the left guards there. Speaking of one of those guys, and Titus Howard, he spoke to the media today, and a big thing that he has been harping on the several times he has spoken to the media in the offseason under Cole Popovich is the change in mindset. Here is Titus Howard talking about that.
Yeah, for sure. And, it's up to us older guys to establish that for the younger guys. And I think that's one of the things I'm trying to do is just being a positive example every day of, how we got to go about our business every day. So when a younger guy see that, they're like, oh, man, that's how I got to be. And then that just rubs off on the whole offensive line.
All right. This group, their mindset, as he has said multiple times, has changed, especially with the physicality. Wanting to get more downhill, wanting to the way they almost talk about it is have the run set up the pass almost is the way they've talked about it. But I think in that point, and I know for you, you haven't necessarily viewed Titus as the guy who is going to be the leader of this offense, even though his history with the team and resume probably would say that would be the guy who's a leader. He is at least talking that thing, and I think walking it when you look at what he's done to prepare himself to play that position.
Well, I mean, here's the key is I don't think Titus Howard is the alpha that's going to walk in and put his foot on your throat. But I do believe that he is a leader that is going to take what the coach says and execute it at a level to where everybody around him says, okay, coach, that's what you want. That's the standard. That's the effort. That's the attention. That's the communication. That's what you want. Okay, we're going to fall in line behind Titus Howard's actions. I do believe that's possible. Listening to Titus Howard talk today, I think there's two things here. I think one, it appears that Cole Popovich, the difference between Cole Popovich this year and Strouser last year is Cole Popovich is going to set a standard, hold guys accountable, and there's not going to be any sweeping things under the rug and kind of moving on to the next. We're gonna set a standard, and that standard's going to be met on a daily basis. And if you don't, we're going to talk about it. And if that is the case, then Cole Popovich can be that guy and should be that guy, but can be that guy that you got to answer to. What he needs is somebody that can go out there and show all the other offensive linemen, which Titus Howard even spoke about, is just go out there and show everybody else how it's done. Cole can preach it. Cole can demand it. Cole can expect it. If Titus Howard and Lakin Tomlinson can go out there and actually execute it and approach the practice every day that way, and everybody else falls in line, you got a unit that can get better and get better quickly. So I don't know. I guess when Laramie left and you think about Cole Popovich not having much experience, you think, boy, they need this long in the tooth veteran to come in here and really be a difference maker. And they didn't go get that guy. So how do you find that in that room? And I think Titus Howard's going
to
be a key.
Well, it was kind of hard to look at it because, like, What is it that you think of when you thought of Tytus Howard? You almost felt like he was a guy that was maybe, and maybe this was unfair, but you almost felt like he was the number one Laremy Tunsil follower.
Oh, no doubt. No question.
Right, and I think that's why potentially in your mind it's hard to visualize that he is going to come in and be what they needed.
Yeah.
Right? Your thought would be he would be another Laremy Tunsil, and there was a thought maybe you need to bring somebody in that kind of shifts that thought. But
well, with Laremy gone, Cole Popovich, the O-line coach, can now put his foot on people's throats. And if Tytus Howard is going to go out there and set the standard every day of how you approach practice and how you respond to Coach Popovich's coaching and his expectations, now you got something. Now you're on to something. And so I guess I was looking at it through the lens of like, hey, man, who's going to be that dude that comes in here and there's no questions asked? That's the guy you look at and that could be the coach, Cole Popovich, in a combination of a couple other guys with him, and I think that's what you're looking at in Houston.
Yeah. Sex line coming through. Tytus Howard is saying all the right things, but I don't trust his ass until I see him do it.
I'll speak for Ron on this one. We ain't that trust that just trust D'Amico or trust Casario or trust Tytus or trust this or that. No, I mean, there's no question about it. You got to see it. I mean, if he can't go out there and play guard at an extremely high level, all this is all smoke blowing.
Yeah. All right, as we continue, some really, really good news for the Astros and a discussion about what they have to do in the next important 8 days. We'll continue that coming up next.
Tyler Miller, you are the greatest producer in the world.
Texans Training Camp, live from the Twin Peaks Studios. Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
All right, coming up fresh and live right behind us, Texans All Access, as they will take over at 6 o'clock, when we get done. Mark Vandermeer, John Harris, they are burning it all. I heard them this morning as I was driving to take the kids to camp, and you can hear them again tonight as they will be hearing. You will get a chance to hear from GM Nick Casario as well as Azeez Alshire, and they will that will be live. Azeez spoke to the media today as well as In the Loop earlier today, so Azeez is all over Sports Radio 610 today, baby. You can hear him again with Mark Vandermeer and John Harris coming up. Texans All Access coming up next after us. And then after them, I see the fellas that just walked past them. Area 45, they're back in action. They will have post game coming up for you as the A's are in town to face the Astros.
Give me a hell yeah.
You're damn right. I feel like it's got to be Hogan today. Like, if you're going to do that, it does. Mm.
Well, I mean, that was kind of why, like, I did play it, like, thinking of Hogan. I don't got any Hulk drops,
Austin,
man.
Just played Austin.
I ain't got no Hulkster drops.
Yeah, I hear you. All right, well, all right, anyway, Area 45.
Area 45, brother!
I almost cut a promo. I really almost
did. I mean, why didn't you?
I did.
Let it rip.
Not myself. Area 45 coming up. After Texans All Access, Sean Bajani, Patrick Crate, Chris Santiago right behind us. They will be ready, have you ready for the postgame, as we said, as hopefully the Astros will be able to take care of the A's tonight. And then here in just a few minutes, T-Mill's best bets. He's back in the green, baby. In the green Monday, little red yesterday, Tuesday, and in the green yesterday. So he'll try to keep it going.
You got room for me?
I do not.
All right, well, damn, man. We've got to be getting close, right? I mean, my goodness.
Yeah. Probably next week. I'll have some room for you.
Oh, he's just told you, just don't even ask tomorrow.
Well, I'm out tomorrow.
Oh, that's right. He could still hit you up, though. But I hear you.
I mean, I don't mean, are you like, your phone, you leaving your phone somewhere?
I mean, I'll be doing something kind of busy, you know. My dad's having a serious, semi-serious medical procedure, man. But I guess I can try to carve that time out for you if it's really needed. I mean,
you know, you're not placing bets tomorrow.
Are you doing the surgery or what?
But are you not placing bets tomorrow? That's stopping you from placing bets? I know what we're doing.
What's going on, Doc?
I'll be betting.
I know. Okay.
As long as the Astros medical staff ain't touching him, we should be
all right. Waiting room with nothing to do.
Did you hear him sit there? He made it seem like, yeah, man, I ain't. Hey, man, bet's off today, man. Got a serious procedure tomorrow.
No, it's not.
You're going to be looking up.
Next week, I got you.
The Mariners
to be clear, it is really serious with Tyler's dad, but he will still be.
Oh, dead. He's good.
Yeah, it was serious.
I got you next week, bro.
Yeah, got you next week.
Right now, I got to focus on getting a third Green Day on the week.
Yep. I'm with you, man. Best of luck, Bob.
If you need a bed, just text me.
Some good news, though. The Astros, some good news. The Astros have transferred the rehab assignment of right-handed pitcher Christian Javier to AAA Sugarland, where he will start tonight for the Space Cowboys.
It feels huge.
So, it feels odd. Jason Alexander is starting for the Astros tonight, and Christian Javier is starting for the Space Cowboys tonight. So this is a good thing. Also, additionally, Jacob Melton has been placed on a rehab assignment in Sugar Land as well. So maybe he's getting closer and getting maybe potentially back with the big club. So
barring one of those Astros setbacks, man, we got some movement in the positive direction here with some of these guys getting healthy.
Are the Space Cowboys at home? That'd be a nice little ticket.
Man, it's got to be.
Even
why
think about
it. It's got to be why they've been transferred, right?
I guess right. Maybe I don't know if they had to go up to Oklahoma City or something, and he put them on one of those buses again. I'm not sure, but that'd be a nice watch if they're in Sugar Land. That'd be a nice little ticket. I want to up that bad boy as Christian Javier get a good shot at him. Well, that leads me into the thought though. They're 8 days away. 8 days away until the trade deadline is here for Major League Baseball, and I think we both agree. I do think they are a bat short, but I do think and agree that the priority has been they need to get some pitching right now. They just got a lot of injuries, and right now they have two pitchers that they can depend on. And I remember listening to Brandon Scott, who had real frustrations of, damn it, this can't be what we're going to have to, you know, give up prospects for when, you know, to start the year you thought you had Hunter and Framber and Wisniewski and Ronel Blanco and thought you might get Garcia by now and Javier and Spencer Arrighetti, and now you got to go and do what you did last year and spend money on pitching. But I would pose this to you as we see Christian Javier. He went three innings in Corpus, and now he's pitching tonight in Sugar Land. Maybe he goes four innings. Maybe the pitch count is higher for him, and he's getting closer. There's no other stop but the Astros after this. Does the potential of getting guys like Arrighetti, Javier, Garcia back, does that change your thoughts on how they should approach starting pitching at the trade deadline?
No, absolutely not, especially with the Astros, the recent history this year of injury. No, I don't think that they should put all their eggs in one basket of any of – and I guess you're putting your eggs in three different baskets, but thinking that any of these guys are going to come back and be, one, completely healthy, two, ready to pitch, and three, ready to pitch at a – let's call it a third start in a rotation – for one of the best teams in the American League. That to me is a little bit of a risk, a little bit more of a risk than I'd be willing to take right now, given how my team has created the lead that they have here, you know, in not just the division, but in the American League. So I would be aggressive. I would go get a guy no matter what, how good you feel about these guys. There's nothing's going to happen over the next 7 days that's going to you know, confirm that they're back and locked and loaded. So no, I don't think it impacts it any way, shape, or form.
The only thing to me that is different is, one, Christian Javier is definitely a thought. He's one that causes me to pause a bit. That part, and then the other part of understanding how it seems like the Astros are going to kind of run themselves now. I think they're going to be much more dependent on their young players. Mm-hmm. Like, not just getting players in the farm system to trade, but getting players to replace guys that they may not decide to pay. Right, and they're going to use their farm system a lot more as opposed to just paying for free agents or paying for guys that they already have. And with that, boy, it'd be something if Christian Javier or Spencer Getty came up here and they, by the time we got to October, were ready to go and pitch at a certain level, and you've traded for Seth Lugo, for example, and you've given up prospects that potentially could help you down the road. That's the only thing that makes me pause. But I understand and for the most part agree with where your thought is, and I don't know if I don't want to take my chances to where I am screwed and Christian Javier is not ready to pitch starter innings by that time. Or Arrigetti, you know, it takes him a while and he's not up to par of what you need. And now you're staring down the barrel of, you know, this version of Lance and Arrigetti or Javier, who can only go three innings.
Yeah.
You know, and you have to lean so much on Hunter and Framber. So I think what you're probably saying is the right move. But Christian Javier is one to watch. If he comes out here and throws like five innings tonight, we're getting closer now.
Yeah. He's getting closer, no doubt. But I just don't want to make that bet. I don't want to chance it. I'd rather make a move and then these guys come up and see what you can do with a six-man rotation, see what you can do in that four and five hole in the rotation, and see if any of these guys, Javier, Arrigetti or McCullers, can hold off whoever you bring in that third spot. That would be a beautiful thing. I would not making a move and then banking on these guys coming back from injury and being their old self or even better.
Yeah,
seems like a little bit of a risk for me.
That's fair. It's a lot of risk. All right, Tyler, T. Mill, back in the green. Let's get the best bets, T-Mill's best bets. What you got tonight?
Yes, five more baseball wagers tonight. We went 3 for 5 last night. Still got work to do if we want to have a successful week, though. Only hitting 50% on the week, so we got some work to do. All five of these best bets are between just two ball games tonight. First off, I got the Padres +1, as they're going to be in St. Louis taking on the Cardinals. In that same game, I'm on the over. Padres at Cardinals, over 8 runs tonight. And then the last three all pertain to your Houston Astros.
Oh, you're doing this.
I feel good about really all three of these. I'm looking for a 5 for 5 night. Astros money line as they start the series with the A's at Daikin tonight. I'm on the under. A's at Astros under 9 runs is where I got it. And then one player prop for you. We haven't had a prop in a few days. Altuve, the GOAT, over 1.5 total bases at tremendous odds, +130. That might be my lock of the night. Those are your five best bets.
Yeah, I like Altuve. That's fine. We'll see how that finger is, but that's that's pretty good odds, I would think. Under 9. I don't want to bet on Jason Alexander. I don't know what's going on with that. I like the Padres +1 there, and then over 8. It sounds good. Yu Darvish is just getting back. He's kind of struggling. His ERA is nearing 7. Sonny Gray has been pretty good record-wise, but I don't know. His ERA is above 4, so that one ain't bad. So we'll see. These bets that are in line with, like, the Jason Alexanders and how you pull the trigger on Colton Gordon one time on strikes, I don't know if I could do that.
Well, that's right. Let's get this money, and I will be leaving y'all with some best bets for tomorrow, even though I won't be here.
I'm going to look at all these. All right, I'm going to look at these.
Looking to finish with a green week, man. We need it. Let's go.
I'll probably change one tomorrow.
You son of a bitch.
You'll take the power of that thing. All right, Clint, great job. Tyler, great job. I'm Ron, the show. As always, Houston, we love you, baby.
No.
Doesn't sound like it, does it?
I don't think he just his heart can't do it.
Fellas, I think you may be maybe embarrassed or at least disappointed at me as I had another potentially cheap moment today.
Oh, it doesn't surprise me. I mean,
don't you honest. Have those daily?
If you're gonna surprise me, spend some money.
I know we got dirties daily, but I mean, I just assumed cheap Ron was daily.
If you hear the back and forth before I finally caved in to pay for this,
exhausting.
And I know it's gonna be.
Is that my boy Ron?
Tyler, I love you too, man. You so H10.